Welcome back to the Tacticos, episode 14. It's a new year, 2024. Happy New Year to everyone. I don't think we've released this episode in a while. We needed our own Christmas break, innit, Jane? Get refreshed and get the batteries back. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, man.
Going too hard, man. Get refreshed.
Trust me.
There's a lot going on, bro.
Bro, there's been a lot going on. Arsenal have been having problems since we last spoke.
Should we start off
I think we should. There's other teams obviously doing well and whatnot, but I think a lot of, especially after yesterday's defeat to Fulham away, a lot of questions being asked, should I say. And the fans are turning on a bit, you know. Surprised. These men were hyping up the team and whatnot, manager, and all these decisions he's made and things like that, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, and now all of a sudden it's changed. That's just standard Arsenal fans for you. Do you know what I mean? No surprises there.
Better than what, turning on the manager?
You should have seen a lot of interviews saying, oh, you know, I understand where they're coming from in terms of he's got decisions wrong or personnel and things like that, but it's a bit harsh, isn't it? It's a bit harsh. Because everyone, 2 weeks ago, when we previewed the Liverpool game, obviously we drew 1-1 there. I thought we played pretty well there. They should have probably won, to be fair, based on chances, but I think we had a few opportunities to kind of win the game ourselves. So I thought a draw was probably a fair result in the end.
Yeah, I think they had the best chance.
The Trent one?
Of the game.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that one. And that would have knocked the game.
Easily.
You know, and they obviously missed it. But overall performance, you controlled the game. And then obviously they were kind of, how Liverpool play anyway, is counter-attack, right? You know, if they're playing an opposition that likes to hold the ball, keep the ball, like the cities and obviously like yourself, you know, they are very explosive on the counter-attack. Like you've seen with their goal, came out of nothing. You know, it was like a route one ball.
Yeah, you know,
great
Trent,
ball from Trent. And then that's it. Salah does the rest. You know, so they've got that ability. They've got the players to kind of do such. But yeah, to take a point from Anfield, you know, you'd be loving it. And I think at that time, Liverpool drew to United. Mm-hmm. They beat West Ham 5-0 EFL. Yeah, they beat them 5-0 in the EFL. And then obviously, then they're playing you guys. So it's a bit of a kind of mixed thing from Liverpool because expected to thrash us, didn't do so, didn't score a goal, didn't really threaten us with any chances as well. It was kind of like all outside the box, no clear-cut chances, very kind of rudimentary. Best chance, again, fell to us.
Hoyland.
You know, another day.
Hoyland, yeah.
Yeah, Hoyland. Another day, you know, we snatch and grab that. You know, we take the points. And then obviously going into that game. So I think you lot played it well. And then after that, didn't watch the game. And then we lost to West Ham.
Oh, wait.
2-0, I think. 2-0, yeah, 2-0. Again, that game, we absolutely, like, had it unlocked, you know, and they just countered us and scored two goals. And I think it just summarizes United all in one go. Like, Forest game was absolutely the same. Villa game was probably the same as well when we concede. It's just like blimps moments of lack of concentration within certain, especially at the back. And then that's it. You know, you're 1-0 down, 2-0 down, and that's it. With United, once the first goal goes in, you know, the opposition team can probably get another and another after that as well. You know, and that's what happened there. And then I thought you guys would have absolutely smoked West Ham because when they played against us, they were shit. I'll be honest with you. Played off the counter, parked the bus.
The thing is, when they play away from home, it suits them more because they've got the likes of Kudus and Paquetar and, you know, the pace of Bowen and all that. It kind of suits them away from home to play on the counter. And I guess that's what probably came into their hands. But I don't know, man. We created a lot, but nothing. To be fair, I say nothing clear cut, but Jesus had a chance when we were, what, 2-0 down anyway. And he missed it.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, and I was saying the same, you get Tony in that chance, he scores. You get, you know what I mean? You get someone else in that chance who's a goal scorer, they score the goal, and you probably get something out of the game.
But this is,
those are the fine margins.
This is always the case with Jesus, right? Even when he was at Man City.
Yeah, he misses.
He'd miss the easiest fucking 100%. Chance, bro. Like, you know what I mean? And the other thing with him, he's never fit. Yeah, he's always injured. Same thing at Man City, bro. He's always injured. He was never fit. There's that constant loop that you've got. Obviously, these lot decided, you know what? He's a squad player in this team anyway. But when we need to rely on him, because we're trying to achieve big things, I'm talking about Man City, they're like, we can't rely on this guy, you know, because he's just never there. And then the other thing is, you know, when we're at such a high level, you can't miss those chances. So they ended up selling him on, obviously, to you guys. But now you've taken it up to the next level.
He's not good enough. Well, he's not good enough. He's good enough for a squad player, again, really.
That's it. Yeah. And I think that was the time, innit? Like, he done wonders last season, got injured, and obviously, whatever happened. But 100%, he's a squad player, man. Like, he's not going to get you the goals. Like, he's going to do a lot of dog work up front. But, you know, like, you see it now. Like, Saka scored a goal, fair enough, yeah. But it was like a tap in, nothing. He doesn't look the same. Martinelli doesn't look the same.
The front three is terrible, honestly. It's bad.
It's like our situation, yeah. Like, where's the goals coming? You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at the Arsenal team. I'm saying with the United team. I'm looking at it, like, where are the goals? You know, who's scoring me the goals? You know what I mean? At the moment,
someone showed a stat. Nketiah and Saka are top goal scorers in the Prem. They're with five. Five goals.
Yeah, that's just
And
shocking.
You're looking at mans like Bowen's on 11, like, Watkins 12, Solanke 12. Like, how's Nketiah is not even good enough. He's like realistically Palace level, yeah.
And then I think in one game he scored.
Yeah, he scored the hat trick against Bournemouth at home. So where's you know what I mean?
If you want to look into the stats, then yeah, you can.
You're saying you're scoring two goals in what, in 18 games, and really. What
yeah,
kind of, you know,
yeah.
1-9 ratio? Are you mad for a striker or Arsenal?
Yeah.
Bro, that's relegation 100%. Numbers easily. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Chris Wood, I think he scored a hat trick the other day. Fair play. Obviously, he's come back into the team. He's on 7.
Yeah,
or something
but he
now.
Again, he hasn't played the number of games. Eddie and Kane.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
not
yeah.
even getting them. Let's be real. Wood's not going to get the number of chances in Kane's game because, again, it's different teams.
Is it?
Arsenal going to create more.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at Saka again. Saka, it's clear to see we try and get Martinelli and Saka in isolated one-on-one positions. But I don't know how Saka's not been able to do more than what he's doing right now. Fair enough, he's got 5 goals and 6 assists. When you look at the whole, it's generally decent numbers, but you can get numbers. You got to look at the impact on what you're having in the game. And that's what's annoying me right now. He's not having the same impact he's having last season. Now, you can argue, obviously, Martinelli. Well, I mean, I don't even know what to say about Martinelli. He has been absolutely dreadful. And the thing with Martinelli, he's actually come out of the team for, what, Trossard sometimes. But the problem I have with Arteta right now is he keeps starting him. Realistically, he shouldn't start him, innit? If you look at Martinelli's attributes, he's good on the pace. He's good on his goal against Fulham, quick counter attack, and he got a shot away. And obviously, Saka scored after that. But we probably need his pace off the bench sometimes, especially if Arteta is looking to control games more. And I think Trossard can do that better than what Martinelli does. Martinelli he runs with his head down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no consistency in his game. There's no. He holds the ball a lot. Like, I don't even know what to say anything further, really, because he's been piss poor this season.
I think it comes back to the thing that I think I discussed earlier, that, you know, about your wingers. You know, you're at this predicament now where you need very good wingers as backup to push your current players continuously and make sure that they continuously keep performing. We're at the same predicament as well. So, like, you know, like, our wingers, they're piss poor. You know, you look at it on paper last season, you know, you think, yo, these guys are going to cause problems. Rashford's not performing. Obviously, that's evident. Garnacho is the only one that's kind of performing. Even then, the guy's 19, bruv. And how much can we expect from the guy? You know, like, he performs very good to certain games, and then some games, it's probably not his day. But
that's expected, isn't it? Some 19.
It's still kind of like, yeah, he's 19 years old. You know, like, how much do you expect? Because another guy there is 26. You know, like, you expect consistency from him. He's not giving it. You've got Antony there, 180 million winger. He's absolutely dog shit. Yeah, he does fucking fuck all. Yeah, so we've eliminated that player as well. You'd rather not play that guy. But unfortunately, he's having to play because Sancho has obviously decided to do another thing and obviously fuck himself off the squad. So we've lost a winger there as well. And then the other one now that's coming through the ranks and now all United fans are kind of putting their hopes on is Amad Diallo. He's had no Premier League experience, not that he needs any. Very direct. In the Forest game, he looked actually good, you know, and I think I'd want him to start playing, you know, and he could offer something
He's what,
different.
19 as well, around
But
that age.
he's there about 20 years
Yeah,
old.
it's
He's 20
true.
years old. And then he's come back from 4 months injury. He got injured in the Arsenal game in the friendly in the US. And then obviously now he's back. So, but again, I think he might go AFCON. I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't go because then he might get injured out there again. But it's just the same situation where, you know, you're with Arsenal and United, you have to play the guys now because
There's no one else.
if you take them out, you like Ten Hag's taken Rashford out, he's putting back in, he's taken Antony out, putting back in, you know, he's done that, he's not doing anything. And I think Arteta's at the same situation now as well, where like take Saka out, whatever, sometimes you hope that when they keep playing, something might click
Yeah.
one game, and then when it clicks, you know, that's when it kind of. They can go on a run after that, you know, especially like the attackers, because they're all confidence based. And the other thing is, when you take them out, like some of these guys are elite mentality, you know, where they'll come back even stronger. You know, some of these guys might not be. You know, when they come out, they get taken out of the squad. You know, they're going to be huffing and puffing, thinking, "Yo, why the fuck am I taken out of the squad?" Like, you know, like they start going through shit in their head, you know, and then. Then there's all these other rumors that start circulating about the manager. Oh, there's a rift. You know, that's the first
Yeah,
thing that
problems,
happens.
isn't
Yeah,
it?
as soon as you take a star player out of the team, the media bounce on it and just put some bullshit in the media, in the papers. Oh, there's a rift. Yeah, so it's a tricky situation. But yeah, ultimately, your front three have been piss poor, and that's why, you know, like you're not getting the goals. You know, you're struggling. Yeah, at certain
Do you know what it
points,
is?
you know,
Even
especially
the
against.
guys behind him, like obviously, even I've seen. I mean, I'm not giving. I think Havertz has actually done all right because he's been in and out of the team. Way of expectation for him coming in the team and kind of pushing us towards the title. Fair enough. He wasn't great in the what first 10 games, something like that. But since then, he's actually done all right. Obviously, he needs to get more confidence and just kind of play more minutes. But then, if you're looking at someone like Odegaard. I think he's actually been all right. He's actually been one of our players that's looked decent over the last two games, three games, where we actually haven't playing well as a team. He's actually looking all right. The problem is, it's everyone's putting more weight of expectation on him because he's a club captain and he's and if you look at his numbers from last season, where he scored what 15 non-penalty goals and things like that. I've never seen him as an actually. Like a stat man, like a GNA performing player. He's always just been that person who's just kind of keep things moving, help players in terms of where he's positioned on the pitch and create place, you know, try and move players away from Saka so Saka can play one-on-one against the defender, things like that, really. So I don't understand why he's getting more stick. I see it in terms of obviously what the team's been doing in the last couple of games, but again, it's kind of weird because we're shipping a lot of, not a lot of goals, but we're shipping goals. We don't look as dominant as back, at the back as what we did at the start of the season. But you can clearly see that even our fullbacks, bro, we're looking at Zinchenko, bro. He's fucking shit, man. Honestly, he is fucking
I said
shit.
that when you signed this guy, yeah. Like, this guy is dog shit, bro. There's a reason. Ultimately, if Man City are going to sell someone, yeah, that's the reason why they sell them is because that's it. They're done. It's like if Real Madrid sell someone, like Varane,
Your
Casemiro,
time's up, isn't
yeah.
it?
They don't sell. They don't sell them because they're going to go elsewhere and do better. They know that this guy's time is up. Yeah, like maybe he performs for 6 months. After that, this guy's done out. Yeah. And the same with Zinchenko. Like, what is this? Like, this whole thing about CM, all that kind of shit. I'll be honest with you, he's not fucking good enough to play CM either. You know, to kind of play that role. He's fucking weak. He's tiny. Yeah, you see him. especially in left back, the guy gets fucking bullied, bro. Like, you know, if you get someone a bit strong, pacey as a winger, you know, he's done.
I mean, obviously Salah's elite of the league, but that's
Salah's like elite. So fair enough. I've kind of
look
given
at Kudus. Kudus absolutely done him at West Ham.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like someone like that who's got power, strong, you know, big, bold, physique. You know, he's gonna run at this guy. He's done out, bro. Like, I think Newcastle game. Who was it? Fucking Jacob Murphy, bro.
Exactly.
I'm there looking at this guy. I'm like, this guy's fucking championship quality, bro. And he's making. He's looking at Ronaldo here. You know, like Zinchenko is like all over the gaff, bro. And then he is a big problem, especially at that back, because especially when you have a back line, you know, you have one weak link out of that four of whatever you play. That's it, bro. The whole synergy and everything just kind of gets ruined, because what naturally happens, let's say fullback, like, you know, if left back's the weak link, who plays on Gabriel. Left? Gabriel. Gabriel has to shift left. He has to constantly keep shifting left. Yeah, shifts left. Your whole back line has to shift left every single time, because that left back is not covering his spot. So then what ultimately happens, you have a free man ultimately coming out from
the other side, isn't it?
Right-hand side. Yeah, right-hand side. So then it's just a constant problem. And then if a team wants to overload through the middle, because Gabriel has now gone left back, you've only got Saliba there and potentially Tomiyasu, whoever, Ben White coming into centre. And then obviously your midfielders will come in and chip in. But that might work sometimes, but you are going to get caught out. You know, there are going to be opportunities for the opposition where they are going to kind of see that. And the reason why, you know, we see it, I see it at United all the time. When Shaw's there, it's lock off. It's solid. Yeah, because Shaw, like you've seen against Liverpool, he holds it down. You know, he's a strong player. You know, like, he can hold himself. He's clean. Maybe he's not the best going forward, but we don't need that. You know, we've got the players there anyway that can do the forward things going forward. And then at right back, obviously, is suspect. So you've got Dalot there. So constantly you see that. You see that shift. Yeah, the other side is suspect. You know, like, Dalot will get caught out. Varane is having to run that side. You know, Varane goes there. He's fucking slow anyway. The whole defense has to fucking shift in, you know, and it has to be fucking fluid, and you need elite defenders to be able to do that properly. And unfortunately, I can't see anyone in the league having that caliber of defenders. Even City, bro, you look at Ruben Diaz this season, he looks off the pace, you know, and he looks absolute shit. Guardiola, he's coming
terrible. He's not being great.
He doesn't look at it as well. So, you know, it's tough, I think, at the moment. And obviously teams have come in and attacking, but the key thing is, even when you go 1-0 down, you've got to be able to go and score the goals. You know, that's the main thing. Like, you know, I think we see it with Liverpool, even like Villa, City.
Spurs,
you know,
as well, they go goal down.
Spurs as well. When they go goal down, they can turn through the gears and really put the pressure on. And at the moment, I see Arsenal put the pressure on. Like, you know, they have the ball and stuff like that. But like, in the final third,
this is the thing.
I mean,
like,
you're passing it around in the box, like in the full of it. It's a good 20 minutes at the end. You're passing it around and stuff like that.
Nothing was created.
And it's just like, okay, cool. This is a low block. Yeah. You know, this is what you're going to come up against. You know, if you want a title challenge with the league, you know, this is a low block. It's what you train for, isn't it? This is where you get paid the money now. How do you break this low block? Yeah. That's, and then you've got to do different things. You know, you've got to release the full backs, create width. You know, you've got to, and then I feel like sometimes Arsenal try and pass it into the box. You know, it's like the Wenger's thing. You know,
just do too much. And
sometimes
pop
a shot outside the box.
Like,
you know what I mean? So, like, you've got to try different things. You catch them out, you know, because naturally, if the line is so deep, like you've seen it, I watched that Fulham game. Fulham were basically in their box. Yeah, they didn't want to move outside the box. And if someone like Odegaard was there, Havertz and Rice, you know, they had the ball outside. The space was there, you know, for them to pop a shot. But they just kept going wide, springing it wide and crossing it in. And you're there looking at this Fulham defence, yeah, and you're thinking, fucking, they got Bassi there. They got that other
Tobin, I think, I don't know his surname, but yeah. Tall guy.
They're units, bro. And then you're looking at fucking Jesus and you're like, bro, how the hell is this Donny going to win?
It's true, yeah, it's right. You're right.
And then because, like, their line is so deep, they're so close to the goalkeeper, like, if you go anywhere near that in that 6-yard box, the goalkeeper's gonna come out and grips the ball. Yeah, you're done. So try something else. You know, you got to do something else there. And I feel like that's where Arsenal kind of ran out of ideas. And I feel like that happened in the West Ham game as
The
well.
thing is, with the West Ham game, yeah, we actually create good chances. For example, like the Jesus one, we got in positions where we could have had a chance and could have, probably got a goal back. The problem with the Fulham game is the total opposite, where we didn't look like we were going to create anything. We, like you just said, we were passing the ball for last, like left, right, winger to winger, horseshoe, whatever you want to call it. It was just useless. And then obviously Kiwior started left back. And I mean, I was calling up for Kiwior to start just because I didn't want to see Zinchenko there. Because Zinchenko has been getting cooked for the last, what, month at least. We've only won one game in December, which kind of shows. Now, the problem, obviously, the best case scenario for Arteta was, if you've seen on the first game of the season against Forest, Timber started left back. Because again, so obviously he showed what qualities he can be on the ball defensively. You don't have to worry about him one-on-one. All these types of things that matter, especially playing fullback now, and you're kind of playing DM anyway now as a fullback. Do you know what I mean? So that, I mean, that's happened. He's been 18 games, 19 games in. He's not been a part of the squad. Hopefully he does come back in and just not get pushed in straight away, because obviously the worst thing is if he gets pushed in straight away, then he gets another injury and we're kind of back to square one with Zinchenko. Then he played, obviously, he tried, Kiwior came off, tried Tomiyasu left back. I'm not going to blame the guy. He's not a left back anyway. And he's been asked to play kind of inverted and all these kind of different positions, and it just didn't work. But I mean, if I had any positive to say, really, is the fact that, well, Liverpool play tonight. I'm going to say they're going to beat Newcastle at home. So 5 points off the top. Current, if we're losing one game, if we're only winning one game in December, and we're still 5 points off the top, it's not the worst, really, in it. It's not the worst. That it can only get better. If
It's
we're
not,
winning one game in December, it can only surely get better.
yeah, it's not the worst. It will get better, but it's just like how much
That's
ground
the
have you
problem.
lost? Like obviously the thing is that when Man City went away, you had an opportunity there to go 3 points clear of them, if I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
pretty
Yeah.
much.
Yeah. So obviously excluding the draw at Liverpool, yeah. So you could have gone 3 points clear. Now with the recent results, they're ahead of you now, playing one game less,
That's it.
and they've gone Saudi Arabia, played this World Championship, played about three games over there, come back, and they're ahead of you.
And they've got, yeah, you
So,
said you got a game in hand, haven't you?
and they've got a game in hand. Yeah. So ultimately, I think I don't know, man. I think this is where you see the Liverpool and Man City. They will go through the gears. And I feel these two games, unfortunately, I think you are gonna rue them, in the latter part of the season, because the only way you can kind of catch up now is if the Man Cities and Liverpool fuck up another fixtures. Like for example, Liverpool got Newcastle today, they'll get the job done. Yeah, and that's what you needed to do against West Ham. You're playing at home with your own fans, late night kickoff. You fucking get the job done. Yeah, it doesn't matter how the fuck you win, 1-0, whatever it is, you fucking get the job done. Yeah, simple as. You grind that into your players. Yeah, this December period. So, being a United fan, you always knew you fucking lock off December, you win the league.
It's a bit,
You win the league, yeah.
you count on
That
other teams to lose points or drop points, or you just get yours off.
because everything happens in that time, yeah? Because players are injured, you're playing like three games, like you're playing a game every 3 days, like you're rotating. Fuck how you play. No one gives a shit, bro. You just won the 3 points. Yeah, I don't care how shit I played. Fucking get the 3 points, get the fuck home. Yeah,
That's
that
it.
was the mentality. Get into Jan. Yeah, and I feel like this December period, again, you guys have flopped it. Yeah, and you are gonna rue it, because next game for Man City is Newcastle away. Yeah, and now if Man City are gonna go through these gears that I'm talking about, they will come with the 3 points. They will come back with the 3 points. They will go back to Manchester with 3 points. Yeah, because Pep and those players will be grinding it into each other. We don't fucking lose this. Yeah, we come back with three. Yeah, and then they'll make sure they do. And that's the kind of what differentiates, I feel like, them two and still Arsenal. Still Arsenal. I feel like you still just don't have
That mentality is
that
not there
capability thing.
still. It's not instilled.
It's the mentality, capability, like, you know, to kind of go through that. Like, you look at Man City or Liverpool, you know, like they go 1-0 down. You know, it happens every time. Every team has that. There's a player you look at, you know, Liverpool got Salah. You know, you look at someone and be like, okay, cool. You know, this is my guy, bro. He's gonna fucking do something, yeah? Whatever it is, however shit we play. Arsenal game, for example. Liverpool were fucking shit, bro, for half an hour. You lot had them on locks. You lot had
Randomly.
them on. They couldn't even get the ball. They couldn't get the ball. Trent, for example, Trent, yeah? Released him. That's it. Salah, boom. Bro, you seen the crowd. They were like, fucking, that's it. We go now. Until that 35th minute, until half time, looked like Liverpool were going to come back and score the second goal. You know, the momentum shifted quick. And Man City, they got KDB coming back now. Yeah, I think he was in the
He was on the
bench
bench,
last
yeah. He
game.
didn't come on, but he was on the bench.
He's not, Haaland's going to be coming back now. You know, so they've got match winners there that they're going to look at when they go 1-0 down, whatever it is. And they're going to be like, okay, cool. You know, this is the guy we look at. You know, for Arsenal, I feel like when they had those laps of injuries, you need to capitalize on those things, and you've not done so. Like, I'll be honest with you, I just can't. I wanted you guys to win the league, but I just feel like it's hopefully it's not over, but I feel like it could be, because you're gonna have to go heavy in Jan now, and you're gonna have to go on some infamous winning streak. I feel like you're gonna have to go places that you've never won before, and you're gonna have to go and get the results.
This is the problem now. There's so much emphasis on us now to take the mantle and actually do well in these games. We've got to go out and get 3 points now. We can't. But you know what? I can
Yeah, wherever
understand
you go.
losing against West Ham at home because realistically, we played well. They took their chances. We didn't. That's it. That's the end of it. And we kind of know there's going to be times we're not going to take our chances. The problem is we're doing it back to back now, and other teams have capitalized on it. That's the problem now. You can lose one game. It's not big deal losing. Anyone can beat anyone in the Prem. But if you want to win the Prem, you can't lose 2 games in a row, especially to teams that are, not the top teams essentially. Do you know what I mean? So this is the thing now. We've got to be able to. There's a lot of talk about obviously what's going to happen in January in terms of transfers and this and that. But let's just look at our squad right now. It's not good enough. I mean, I think I said it like 3 weeks ago that we can win the league and we're in a better position than Liverpool to win the league. And all those reasons can be true for what I said back then, but they can also be wrong because of what's happening right now. Do you know what I mean? So it's so difficult to actually look at Arsenal and just.
But I said it then as well.
You
Like,
said
I think I
Liverpool were in a
said it
better position
that
than
I feel like,
Arsenal to win the league.
yeah, 100%. And I still back that case, because I look at your bench. I'll be honest with you. Like, you know, like you can get stuck in this kind of place where players that are shit, you think they're acceptable. Yeah, and that's the kind of system that some of the United fans are in. You know, they look at mans like McTominay and all that, and they think they're good enough. They're not fucking good enough. Simple as, yeah. They should be fucking kicked out of the fucking team. Simple as, yeah. I'm looking at the Arsenal team, and you've got to have that ruthless mentality. You know, can you offer something when someone is injured? What can you offer me? Yeah, I'm looking at mans like Cedric. What the fuck are you gonna offer me, Cedric, bro? If you're fucking playing, yeah, I know you're gonna get rinsed. You're gonna get absolutely fucking cooked. Yeah. And then you've got Cedric, like I'm looking at your team balance as well. You've got Tomiyasu, who's a natural right back, Ben White, who's supposed to be a right back now that can play centre back, and you've got Cedric, who's a fucking right back as well. Where the fuck's your left back, natural
Yeah,
left
it's
back?
true. And we've sent out.
Why have you got three fucking right backs technically?
Well,
And then you, like you said, you got rid of Zinchenko, and that's
Tierney, yeah.
Tierney, who I actually rated. Obviously, I thought he was good, and fair enough, he wanted to play. But if I'm Arteta, I'm telling him, look, you're going to have a good role to play this season. We've got Champions League. I'm going to fucking need you. Yeah. Please stay with me. Fucking get rid of fucking Cedric, bro. Yeah. Cedric, you fuck off. And I think some of these games where you have struggled, you might have been in a probably a better situation. The other position I'm looking at is fucking your midfield. You've got Elneny, Jorginho, and fucking Smith Rowe. I'm sorry, bro. That is
That's
fucking
trash. It's terrible.
low level Premier League. You know, like bottom half.
Is.
You know what I mean? You can't rely on these guys, bro.
The thing
Like,
is,
you know, you're losing.
especially.
You're losing. You're gonna bring any of them on?
No, that's the problem I was going to come on to as well. We didn't use any of them. We didn't even want to use any of them. It's not like we used all our subs. Do you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
we could we there was room for to bring on Smith Rowe. for even Odegaard. Do you know what I mean? Just take Odegaard off or take Saka off. But I understand that, okay, Saka can produce something, but he wasn't doing anything. So why wouldn't you take him off? Now, he changed a little bit, obviously, in the game where he went 4-4-2 because he put Havertz off and he put Jesus and whatnot up front to make it seem to, obviously change up and what. But you're right, looking at our squad, it's not good enough to challenge for a title. You're right. Cedric shouldn't
This
be on
is
the bench,
you need.
and Nenny shouldn't be nowhere near this team. Those are two players there. Again, Smith Rowe is coming back from an
And
injury, not
Jorginho,
good enough.
he shouldn't be there as well, I'll be
Who's
honest with
that?
you. Like Jorginho just doesn't offer what you guys are looking for. You've got Declan Rice. So you assume Jorginho is your
No, but
Declan Rice
I think
replacement, yeah?
Jorginho is
Backup.
understandable because normally it's Partey. So if you look at Partey's injured, naturally Jorginho, he kind of just pushes up in the order because obviously Partey's injured. So I kind of accept Jorginho for what he potentially can bring when he comes on. That's it. I'm not looking at him to be a starter because he's nowhere near what we need for a DM in that position in this system to win the Prem. That's clear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can accept him being there for what he can provide to the team in terms of obviously we're winning and we need to kind of just shut the game off, for example. You know what I mean? Just control the game for a bit. Things like that. He's good at that. If he's got someone next to him like a Rice, you can kind of just do the dog work. Do you know what I mean? So I understand where you're coming from, but I don't. Jorginho is kind of like the least of my worries. I'm looking at Smith Rowe. We had a good opportunity to sell this guy maybe 2 years ago. Obviously, he picked up an injury. Arteta thought he could do some more with it, but I think we potentially had an offer of what 30 million or something. We could have got that in and moved and kind of got in a proper midfielder, let's say. And then we look at someone like Reece Nelson, got given a new contract. 100K a week, whatever it is, he's not good enough. He's not good. He's looking at like what Palace. He's looking at Palace, Everton.
He's
That's
not good
it.
enough.
That's the what's it called?
It's the same thing that when I look at the United team, I'm looking at the bench. I'm looking at their first 11 as well. Like, we've got problems deeper.
Your
You know,
first
our
11,
first 11
yeah,
is not good
it's
enough.
worse.
Whereas your first 11 is good enough, but it's just the things coming off the bench. You know, when one person gets injured or when it's not going for some players, you need to bring that guy off. And that other guy who comes off the bench, you know he's gonna provide something. You know he's gonna do. Whereas that's what you guys are missing. And then I feel like, yeah, until you don't sort that out, I can't see you guys just as a serious competition. You know, for the league, because the teams that you're going up against, they have that just for that reason. If they didn't have that, and you're all on this level playing field, which you're not, you know, you'd be fine. Like, you know, City would struggle, Liverpool would drop points. I'm looking at Liverpool. You know, if Nunez plays Gakpo's on the bench, yeah, that's a quality player you want to fucking bring off, yeah, Gakpo or Nunez. Gakpo's playing, Nunez is on the bench. I'm happy with that, yeah. If I'm Jurgen Klopp, yeah, I'm laughing. And then if Diaz is playing, I've got Jota. That's
Their
fucking
attacking
quality,
options are
bro. That's quality,
very
bro.
good. And look.
And then even the midfield, you know, let's say their midfield three is Endo, Szoboszlai and McAllister. You've still got Gravenberch on the fucking bench. You've got Elliot, who's academy player, but you know he can offer something. You know he is offering something when he comes on because he wants to break through into that team. And then you've got Curtis Jones, who again is offering something at the same time. So they've got players there that are covering, you know, for those positions. Whereas, you know, I feel like for Liverpool, I'm just not seeing it. Obviously, Man City, there's no point even going through that because they've got fucking
Yeah,
elite
they've got
players
everyone.
all
Yeah,
over the place.
it's true.
But you need to have, I feel like you can't have these academy players. Like, they're fucking shit, bro. There's a reason why Man City don't have academy players on the bench. You know, there's a reason they just sell them. You know, they shouldn't have sold Cole Palmer. I think they didn't want to sell him, but look at him now. Yeah. He's fucking killing it. But you guys should have like 25, 26-year-old guys on the bench in their peak. You know, like Saka's my main guy, but I've got this 25, 26-year-old guy. He's in his peak right now. If Saka, you ain't fucking performing, you're fucking off, mate. This guy's taking
That's
your
it.
spot.
That's it. Someone who's got more kind of Premier League experience under them, or do you know what I mean? Just generally, just a better player. Yeah. Not a better player, but you know what I mean. Just come in and make an option. Just another option. I think we mentioned what Pedro Neto or someone like that. You want someone to come on. You want someone to come on like a Pedro Neto, and the defenders, the left backs, looking thinking, "Fuck's sake, man! I've just dealt with Saka, for example, for 45, 60 minutes. Now I've got to deal with this guy who's pacey as hell, and just going to be more direct than Saka, you know, for example. And I'm my legs are done. Do you know what I mean? You need them to have a fear when someone else is coming on. I don't think people come on and think, oh, fucking hell, Trossard's coming on. Let's have some fear. I mean, there's no fear there. The only person I'll probably... I don't even think there is a possession that's like for like, really.
Yeah, Trossard, he just doesn't have the pace.
He's got everything but pace. That's the problem I have with him. He's got everything but pace.
Yeah, I just... Like, when you look at a winger, like, I'm looking at Doku. You know what I mean? I'm looking at Kudus. You know, like, all these guys, bro. Like, the Liverpool wingers, you know, like, Diaz, like... Even the United, like, you got Garnacho, pace, bro. Like, you know, he's going to come on and he's going to fucking take you on, bro. That's the guy I want. You know what I mean? He's going to stretch that fucking field as well. He's going to take it right to the byline. He's going to turn in, turn out. He's going to cause some problems. You know, he's going to create space because those type of players, what they do, a midfielder has to come out to the fullback positions and help out the fullback because they have to double team that guy. Because if that guy gets ripped, you know, like, he's basically in. So when you pull a midfielder out into the fullback, you've now opened up space in the middle, yeah. So you can overload in the middle. So like if you've got three midfielders there, there's going to be one guy that's free, yeah. That's naturally how you do it. And like you look at City, they brought in Doku, Jack Grealish, his backup dancer. Yeah, we all knew he wasn't good enough. Yeah, he was never good enough in terms of output. Whatever he does, you know, it's just not what City require. So they've gone and got Doku. Doku is the output man. Jack Grealish will be the backup dancer to the end of his career now.
But even if you're looking at Jack Grealish coming on, you're thinking, shit, like, this guy is going to create something.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. 100%. But you need that. You've got basically Jeremy Doku's in your team with Saka and Martinelli. They're 20, whatever they are, 22, they're stars, whatever, isn't it? 21, that's however old they are. You need a 25, 26-year-old pace. You know, I need that guy. You can't go... Like, for example, I'll be honest with you, even a Pedro Neto, he's got injury history.
Yeah.
He's got injury history. And like teams like Man United and Arsenal, when these guys come with injury history, they don't go away. They just get worse. Yeah. So I'm looking at Pedro Neto and I'm thinking, sorry, mate, I can't. For that reason, I can't even bring you because I'm going to have to rely on you. And I can't rely on you because you're going to be out. So I need to look at someone else. In the league, maybe I don't know if there's someone in the league or even outside the league. I need to find someone ASAP, and you need to bring that player in Jan. Like Ivan Toney, for example, he doesn't get injured. You know, he plays like fucking every game. Yeah, but I think like you discussed Osimhen in the summer or Ivan Toney now. I think you just go get Ivan Toney now. Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Because you get Ivan Toney now, you can potentially say to Jesus, "Look, you're the fucking backup dancer to Saka now on right wing." Yeah, you get rid of Nketiah in the summer, and maybe then you can go still get Osimhen. You know what I mean? You can still do that.
See, that's the good thing about Jesus. Like, okay, fair enough, he can't be the main man, but he's able to provide cover in the front three and still do a proper job there. Do you know what I mean? So if Saka's not playing due to injury or just kind of, you know, form or whatever it is, fitness, and we have Jesus starting there, I have no issue with that. Do you know what I mean? That's fine. Even, for example, like I personally thought against Fulham, Jesus should have started on the left because Martinelli's been fucking up his stinkers for time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't start Martinelli in the hope, like what you said earlier, in the hope that he might have one game good to build his confidence. Let him build his confidence based on his, you know, his own mentality. Let him do the work. Don't just give him a start and hope for the best. Do you mean there's certain situations that got to happen? So I know it's true. You're right. We need to get someone in the door. I've said this before and I've said it again. Arsenal fans know this. And Keita is not good enough. Fucking shit. He's fucking shit. Let's be real. For Arsenal striker, he's so fucking shit.
He was never good enough.
Never. You never even seen. Like, okay, you know what? You've seen him and think he might provide XYZ. He won't. Yeah. He won't provide anything for this team. He's not strong enough. He's not quick enough. He's not going to hold the ball up for you He's not going to win something in the air to kind of cause players against him. Do you know what I mean? He can't be a target forward like that. There's nothing there.
Nothing
yeah,
player.
It's like I don't even know. It's like putting Saka up front without the pace.
Yeah,
and dribbling ability. There's nothing there. I can say that. Okay, yeah, this is what we can rely on him for.
This is where you know, like I said, if I'm Arteta, if I'm Arsenal Football Club as well, I'm bringing in Tony. Yeah, and then, like I said, I'm moving Jesus as a backup dancer to Saka. Yeah, and it'd be like if you're looking at a squad planner, you know, you're looking at a squad planner and you're looking at position by position, I'm like, okay, fine, Saka and Jesus, that's right.
Yep.
Done. Yeah, because I know Saka, Jesus likes to play on the right, you know, for some reason. It's weird. Normally, players like to cut in, but he wants to play on that side. So he likes playing on that side. So fair enough. You've got that. And then you get rid of Nketiah in the summer and then you go get your big boy striker. Because I'll be honest with you, even Ivan Toney, he ain't good enough as well. He ain't good. He's good to get you. He's just good. You need a fucking world-class
strikers. They win games.
You know what I mean? You need a world-class striker. You don't need it. Ivan Toney's good, you know, as a squad player. But if you fucking mean business, you go get the Osimhen. Like you said, yeah, he goes and gets whatever he does in terms of goals, assists. He provides a whole shebang. You know, then your attack looks lethal. Because now you think about it, you get Osimhen into there, get rid of Nketiah. All you've done is bought two players, two strikers, ideally. You've gone and bought Toney and Osimhen. Let's say combined, they cost you 160, yeah? Altogether, whatever they cost, 160 million. Now on the bench, let's say your front three is Martinelli, Osimhen and Saka. You've got on the bench, Ivan Toney and Jesus on the bench now. So now when I'm looking at your bench, I'm looking at, yeah, okay, cool. We're losing 1-0. It's 0-0. I'm fucking bringing you two guys on now. On the pitch.
That's it.
Yeah. Because what I can do is if I want to change it up, if I want to put two man up top, I can put two man up top. Yeah. I've got Ivan Toney and fucking Osimhen up top. And then if I want to take one of the wingers off, I can take one of the wingers off and potentially put Jesus on the wing. But that's
the flexibility
ideal situation
you need,
to
be able to kind of charge on the let's just talk Premier League only, to have the ability to make to change games in Premier League. Do you know what I mean? So you even like, for example, if we have Osimhen or whoever it is, Toney up front, we don't even need to play intricate football. We can just fucking play route one, hopefully something bubbles down to us, and let's say we're losing 1-0 and it's 1-1 all of a sudden, and that's it. These men are pinned back, or they have to come out a bit more. It's all these things that I can change. Yeah. So I hear what you're saying. The thing is, I would actually just say to Brentford, look, we'll give you the money for Toney, and we'll just give you Nketiah right now. Just get him off the books right now. I think he's on 100k or something.
Yeah, if they're happy with that deal, which
I don't understand why wouldn't they want another striker? I mean, they might just say, look at Nketiah and think, oh, he's not good enough, which is understandable. But again, you're getting a striker for a striker. And I think Nketiah is younger than Toney anyway. So you're going to get some years anyway.
Tony's at peak, peak age.
I know they're going to be looking for 80 minimum, I've heard. Now, let's say Nketiah is worth about 30. Bro, just put the 50 mil up front. Just put it. That's your transfer budget anyway. What else do we need realistically? We can say that we need left back. Timber's going to come back. Now, Tini's going to come back as well, but I think he had an ACL or an MCL. I'm not too sure what it is, but I guess it's a serious injury. So he's written off for the whole season anyway because he's on loan. But Timber's going to come back hopefully in the next month. That's your left back cover at least. We've got Tomiyasu who can play in odd games there. And I'm happy with that. Again, Kiwior, I think we're looking at selling him. It's a bit unfair on the guy because I just don't think he's had the game time really. And I think he's all right. He's all right. He's a good enough backup. But whatever happens on him, happens on him. Right back, again, Timber can only play one position, but it looks like he's going to play left back because I think he just likes Ben White right back. So realistically, defensively, midfield, we don't actually need players. Do you know what I mean? If we sell Partey on, we can get a midfielder in.
You still need to develop that squad.
100%. Like, but I'm looking in January.
You can't have Manzai and Nenny on the bench. Yeah, overall, like next season, come the winter.
Some windows where
window,
we can make
like,
more.
Nenny needs to be gone. Hedrick needs to be gone. I'll be honest with you, Smith Rowe, you need to
If we can get 30 mil for Smith Rowe, I'll happily take it. Happily.
the thing is with Smith Rowe, what the fuck is his position, bro? Is it left? Is it cam? You don't even play a cam no more, yeah? You kind of play these three midfielders that move up and down the pitch unit as a collective. Yeah. So Smith Rowe, do you have the defensive capabilities to do that? No. Yeah. You're not defensively acute enough. So him coming into that team will ruin that balance. And like I said, if he's gonna play on the left, are you good enough for a backup for Martinelli? No. You're not simply good enough to be a backup for Martinelli because you need to be 25, 26 in your peak career, yeah. And you, when you come off the bench, you've got to be firing, bro. And unfortunately, if Martinelli ain't performing, I ain't looking at Smith Rowe and thinking, oh yeah, you're my guy. You're gonna come in and do something. He ain't gonna do nothing as well. And again, because he's kind of like this hybrid position of like a cam and left, he doesn't have the pace
No.
either. He doesn't have the pace, you know, to be that ruthless player. And again, you've got to shift him on. You know, you've got to be ruthless in the summer and really think about, you know, like if we want to really push on now, we've got to shift these guys on because the teams around you, like Liverpool's and Man City's, and even like the Newcastle's, Chelsea's, and whatever you want to say, they are going to be doing fucking shit, bro. They're going to be moving, you know. And so if you're not moving at the same level that
We're
they're
going to be
moving
left
at,
behind.
you know,
That's
like,
the
yeah, you're going to be left behind. So like this season, your title challenge, and last season you came second. You know, the season after you
Yeah,
come
it's
like
true.
fifth.
That's it. That's how fine the margins are
You
now.
know what I mean? That's how, yeah, that's how quick the season, the teams are moving now. You know, because you fuck up one window, that's it. You know, you drop about three, four
Easily,
spots in the
easily.
league.
The thing is also, if I'm looking at someone like Ethan Nwori, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's 16, yeah. In 2 years' time, we're expecting him to be in the league, in the team, yeah, squad at least. Bro, I can't have enough flipping mans like Smith Rowe ahead of him. If I'm looking at this guy, he's gonna be the next thing, realistically. And he's looking up above him, and he's like, "Yo, why the fuck is Smith Rowe ahead of him? Man's had injuries.
Yeah.
He's not performing well. He doesn't even play. But I can't get in the team because this guy's here. Do you know what I mean? What you're gonna ruin morale of players realistically because they know they're better than players ahead of them, but they're not gonna be able to get ahead of them. Do you know what I mean? Those are the things you gotta be thinking about."
You see the Chelsea's and Man City's and stuff, even Liverpool to an extent, like you don't see that many academy players come through. You know, I think United and Arsenal, we're just always been notorious for like the
It's
last
more of a
30
historic,
years.
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Any academy player that comes through, you know, we have some sentimental attachment, we fucking keep them. You know, like in the summer, we got rid of Charlie Savage, got rid of him, not good enough for United, he's never going to play anyway. Zidane, well, got rid of him as well. Elanga fucking got rid of him as well. You know, I don't give a shit if Elanga performs at Nottingham Forest, but that's your level, Nottingham Forest. You weren't ever performing at Man United. Charlie Savage, you're never going to perform at Man United. Zidane, well, you're never going to perform at Man United. Yeah, so they're gone. But that's the kind of mindset you've got to have. Like, if you're not good enough, you just shift them on. Like, you know, we can't hold these players just because they're academy to think, oh, yeah, you know what, one day there might be a player. You know what I mean? Like, out of 10, one makes it. Yeah, that's fine. I'm happy with that. If out of 10, one makes it, and the one that made it was Garnacho, fine. Yeah,
Top
he's
quality.
top,
That's
top.
what you need.
He's top, top. That's the kind of player that I want coming through. The rest of them, they can't be coming through just on premises that your academy. You know, you don't get the bye because of your academy. And I feel like United and Arsenal are notorious at doing that. You know, like the likes of, I'm looking at, yeah, Smith Rowe. You've got Smith Rowe. You've got Reece Nelson. You've got Nkettia. All three of them not good enough.
Do you know
You
what's
know, all
worse?
three of
We've
them not
actually
good
had
enough,
bids for
but they're
them.
still
We've had
paying.
bids for them. Good money. We could have easily sold them. I'm not even gonna say, let's say 100 million. We easily could have sold them for 100 million, three of them. Bro, 100 million, that's
Yeah.
two solid midfielders now that we can get cover from. Top quality midfielders. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is where I've got to look at Arsenal and Edu and anyone else looking at recruitment at the club. You've got to be able to, if you want to win a league title now, you've got to be cutthroat. You can't be fucking around with the fucking potential. If they're not doing it right now, get rid of them. Realistically, that's it. That's
Yeah,
it.
yeah. That's the way the league
City
is
been, bro.
moving now.
City been
It's the
doing it.
same. It's the
Trafford,
same
20
with us.
million. Cole Palmer, was it 40 million? They sold.
Yeah.
Who else did they sell? They sold someone else. 20 million. Dominic Solanke from Liverpool sold him 20 million.
Yeah,
Good.
you get the
Yeah, you
offer, you
get
get
good
rid.
money. You get rid of them. Now they might be.
I think Elanga we got like 15 or
Good, yeah,
something,
good
bro.
money.
Even Henderson we got
Yeah,
30.
exactly.
You know, so happy.
And
Fucking
you
shift
just
it,
put a
bro. Get
clause in
rid of
saying,
him.
okay, if they get sold on from then, 20%, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get some
Yeah,
sign
bro,
bonus.
listen, that's it.
Yeah,
Things like
that's
that.
it.
That's how you make your money. That's how you become more strategic in your transfer window. And in your finances.
Because those players ultimately are not good enough for you, but they're good enough for a lower team. So they're willing to pay that money, you know, and kind of develop him. And then obviously maybe one day they can cash in on him. You know, like Dominic Solanke, Liverpool sold him for 20, Bournemouth bought him for 20. But then Bournemouth might think, oh, one day Tottenham might come. Tottenham will pay 50 for him. You know what I mean? Or Everton might come. They'll pay 50 for him. So they made profit anyway. So it's everyone's a win-win in that situation. But I think that's kind of covers that. I think even if you want to discuss United, I think the same applies there, but it's a more of a squad.
It's the starting 11 included, isn't it?
The problem is deeper than that. You know, like I'm looking at the last team, yeah. Like Onana, okay, I'll give him a bye, yeah. Like whatever. Let's say he's fine. Wan-Bissaka, you gotta fucking go, mate. You're not fucking good enough. Varane, like, I'm sorry, you gotta go.
This is a
well,
team
like,
against Forest, isn't it?
Yeah, Varane, he's gotta go. Like Wan-Bissaka's gotta go. These are starting 11 players. Evans, I'll be honest with you, Evans has been our best centre back and he's fucking like 34 or whatever.
It's not his fault, isn't it? He's been doing what he's been asked to do, really.
Yeah, he's fucking not put a foot wrong. There's not been a single goal I can be like, oh yeah, it's fucking Evans' fault. Every time he did it, yeah. I've never been able to say that about him. And I'd keep him actually. I'd be like, you know, you stay because he actually shows some grit. And maybe like new players coming in, they probably can learn a bit off him as well. Dalot, you got to fucking go as well. You've been there long enough. Yeah, he's got to shift on. Eriksen, fucking, you got to go as well, man. You're fucking shit, bro. I said it even when we signed him. He's a stopgap player. Like if Eriksen's off the bench, like say if I had Eriksen off the bench and then I had someone like fucking fuck knows, like a better midfielder, you know, a quality midfielder, and Eriksen's a backup to that guy, I'm calm with that. I'm happy. But Eriksen is not. That's not what's happening. Eriksen is playing first team, and then when he's available, he is the main man. Unfortunately, so for that reason, you need to go, because you can't be in the team like 200k a week, whatever you're fucking earning, like something like that, ridiculous. You're not a 200k player. You've got to fucking get shifted on. You're 31. You don't have the legs. You know, to play in the league, even against the lesser teams at home, that's when you only kind of benefit. But away from home, you're shambolic. Kobbie Mainoo, the guy's 18. You know, you'd keep the guy.
He's not performing wrong either. He's doing bits.
You can't fault him. Yeah, 18. You know, I'm keeping him. Anthony, you spent 80 million on him last season. You fucking get rid of him. Fucking get his shit. You cut your losses and be like, okay, bye. That's it. Whoever wants him, take him. Even if you sell him for fucking 20 million, who cares, bro? This is football.
It
works. Business. You fucked it up, an investment, yeah? You fucking cut your loss and move. Just move on. Yeah, like the same thing you're going to do with Sancho. You're going to cut your loss and move on. Yeah, it's happened. It's done now.
This is the problem with Anthony, though. I just can't see United doing it with two players at the same time.
I think Sancho will be gone in Jan. I think Anthony maybe gets maximum one more year, but depends. I can see if a new manager comes in, I can see him getting shifted ASAP. Because I just can't see him offering anything.
If a new manager Bruno comes Fernandez, in, do you think he'll get shifted?
I think he'll get shifted.
You just don't think the new manager, not going to be.
Yeah, I just can't see. He doesn't offer anything, bro. Like he can't.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a good player. Yeah, I'm just saying sometimes.
Like, you know, I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at him thinking, what do you offer?
Yeah, I hear it.
There's no point in him even being on the bench. You know, I'm getting rid of that guy. You know, Anthony is gone. Garnacho. Obviously, you got to keep that guy. Bruno Fernandes, keep that guy as well. And then Rashford, you're giving him a fucking new contract. I said it last time. Before we give him a new contract, fucking sell him. Yeah, he's shit. He scored the goals that he scored last season, but a lot of them were kind of like individual kind of performances. You know, like there was no teamwork. There's no like, he's not a team player. You know, he doesn't offer the whole shebang, you know, when it comes to Rashford. The assists, doesn't offer any assists. You know, he'll score whatever the goals and stuff like that, but you know, you need the other side of the game now, you know, with the defensive work and all that. Should have shifted him. Didn't shift him. You've offered him a big bunker deal. Unfortunately, he's going to have to stay. So I would like to shift him, but he's going to have to stay. And then you're looking at the rest of them. The man's on the bench. You know, you've got fucking youth players on the bench now. You know, that's how fucking shit it is. You know, because that's how deep our injury list is, yeah? I'll talk about how many players are missing and then we can talk about our bench. You know, you've got this Bayern Dier goalkeeper, yeah, fine, whatever, backup.
Well, he's going to be playing, isn't he, next month? Well, this month.
Yeah, he's going to be playing. Yeah, he's going to be playing next game. So I don't mind. He's a backup goalkeeper. Like, bought him for like 7 million, so it's a fuck all anyway. You've got Daniel Gore, academy player. He's supposed to be quite good, but he shouldn't be in the first team. He shouldn't be on the bench. Unfortunately, because of the amount of injuries and missing players that we've got, you know, he's there. Khamwala, you know, I don't know about this guy, if he's good enough or he's not. But again, he shouldn't be there. You know, he shouldn't be having it. Medri, I actually don't mind keeping Medri as a squad player, you know, because he offers something that a lot of the other players don't. You know, he's got tenacity. You know, he's got engine. He's an engine. You know, he'll go get you those little fouls. You know, he'll put those little fouls in. He'll make the tackles. So he's got that aspect to his game.
About Hannibal?
For that reason, I'd keep him.
Hannibal.
Yeah, okay. Hannibal Medri. Yeah, and for that reason, I'd keep him. Pelestri, you're not good enough.
Yeah,
you got to go. Yeah, you're just a fucking old school fucking winger who runs in a straight line and crosses the ball. Yeah, you don't even look where you're crossing it. You can't score goals. You're too small. Yeah, and you can't even you get fucking bullied off the pitch. Yeah, Van der Beek, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone on Frankfurt on loan. Probably in the summer he'll be sold. I think there is an option to buy from Frankfurt, but definitely in the summer he's gone. And then you're looking at all the mans that are injured. You know, you've got Amrabat, one injured. I'm not buying him.
He's on loan for the season.
Yeah, he's not good enough. He's too slow. Yeah, he's too slow. He's not good enough. Yeah, you fucking get rid of, terminate that loan when it comes to the summer. You don't pursue. Casemiro, the guy's 32. If an offer comes from Saudi, you shift him.
Yeah, that's your hope right now, that you get an offer from Saudi for. If you're looking at Varane as well, you got to hope for Saudi to come in.
I think for both of them, you will get offers. It's names, for both isn't of them, it? Because I think with the Ronaldo influence, and the name that they've got, you know, they still are big names. So for that reason, I think it won't be an issue shifting them onto Saudi. You get rid of Hoyland. I rate Hoyland. You know, I think he's been quite unfortunate. He doesn't even get passes, bro. He's quality. I think the talent is there. You know, like, he offers a lot. I think. So for that reason, keeping Lindelof, you fucking gotta go, bro. You're shit. Like, he's absolute dog shit. Yeah, Maguire, you gotta go as well. You know, but the amount of players I've kept right now,
we're gonna have to play, bro.
You know what I mean? you know what I mean? There's no one left in the squad. So for that reason, unfortunately, I think he's got one more year left after this year. Yeah, I let him go on a free. So I just keep him, but I let him go on a free. Yeah, because we're trying to play it smart here now. You know, instead of shifting the whole squad. Malacia, you're fucking shit. I don't know what kind of injury you've got. He's not played one game this year. No, he's got some unknown fucking injury and he's fucking injured, yeah? Fucking get rid of him. Shit. He's absolute shit. You're not a good backup for Martial, he's gone. He's already gone out the door. Yeah, he should have been gone like 2-3 years ago. But fuck it, it's happening now anyway. Martinez, you keep him. He's a good player. Mason Mount, you've spent 55 million on him recently. You've given him the number 7, and he's going to have to stay in the squad. I don't agree with the signing. He's going to have to stay. Jadon Sancho, he's gone as well. And then Luke Shaw is fucking injured. But you keep him, because Luke Shaw is actually a good squad player. He does give it his all when he does play, and his performance levels are good. You know, you can't really fault him. But again, you've got to go buy a younger Luke Shaw now. You know, you've got to go buy a younger player, a younger fullback who's going to play, and then Luke Shaw is a backup dancer. So that's the player you play now. Because Shaw can't play every game. His body's obviously mullered. The amount of games that he's probably played over the years, the injuries he's taken. You've got to be very delicate how you take him forward now. He's 28 years old, 29. He's coming into that age bracket now where either he gets injury after injury after injury, and then, you know, he ends up at West Brom, something like that. Or, you know, you manage his game time and you can prolong his career, you know, that way. So, but out of all those players that are missing right now, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You've got a whole 11 missing, yeah? And then our bench was McTominay, Diallo, Reguilón, fucking, he's alone anyway, he's fucking gone. Daniel Gore, Khamwala, Medri, Pelestri, Van der Beek. That's our bench. So same thing with fucking Arteta. Same thing with Ten Hag. We're losing 1-0. Yeah, we've gone and scored the goal 1-1. I'm looking at the bench. I'm thinking, who the fuck do I bring on? You know what I mean?
You're right.
I'm looking at it like, you can't bring anyone on. Apart from...
Diallo. You're not going to bring... Why would you bring McTominay on?
Anthony's dog shit. You're not
going to bring fucking McTominay on either.
The thing is, he brought him on, you know, and then he brought him on because he's probably like, fucking, I need to change something here, you know, like sometimes you have to take someone off. It doesn't matter even if the guy is worse, you just have to do it because you need to like ruin the opposition's kind of float, you know. So you're kind of forced to make in a change that you don't really want to, but you have to anyway. So you're kind of in that catch 22. But that's the kind of predicament that Ten Hag's in, game out recently, yeah? And then that's been since the start of the season. Obviously, there's no kind of player football at the moment, you know, in terms of how we attack. You know, like, when you take, like, the Villa game, we had Hoyland, Garnacho, Rashford. They look really good up top. And you had a midfield of Maino, Eriksen, Bruno Fernandes. It looked okay. It wasn't bad. And then the back line was shit, yeah, because they conceded two loppy goals at the end. And I mean, two loppy goals at the start. But after that, they were quite composed on that front.
But it shouldn't take 2-0 down to get you going, especially at home. Do you know what I mean? That's the problem.
Yeah. And our attack looked good. You know, like Garnacho
second half
looked
good.
Fernandes was
back
in camp. Fernandes was back in his camp role that we've not seen him as fans for a long time because he's coming too deep. You know, he's coming into CM. We don't want him in CM. We want him in camp. Yeah, we want him right behind the striker, you know, up there, playing the final passes because no one else can play those balls. We keep fucking it up. Hence why we've not scored enough goals. You know, we've seen it. You know, we were threatening. You know, Rashford was doing well. Hoyland scored his goal. Garnacho fucking scored two. He was fucking quality as well. So, but Hoyland got injured or he got an illness before the game. So you've taken one player out and the whole synergy of the team has gone. Yeah, you've had to put Rashford up fucking top. It's like what you said. It's like having put Saka up top. Yeah. That's how good Rashford is up top. He's fucking dog shit. You've rather put fucking Brian up there. That's how fucking shit this guy is, bro. And then what you've had to do now, you've had to put Garnacho onto the left. Yeah. And then you've got Antony on the right, who's another dog shit player. So you've absolutely ruined the whole synergy. So it's basically from, let me explain it to you in Arsenal perspective. You've got Saka up top. Yeah, and you've got fucking Reece Nelson on the right. Yeah, even if that, bro, like someone were. Yeah, and then you've got on the left, you've got Martinelli. So you've got Martinelli on left, Saka up top, and Reece Nelson. And then you've got Odegaard coming in as the advanced fucking player. Yeah, and you're looking at that team and you're thinking, fucking hell, bro. Like,
yeah, what's going to happen?
Nothing's going to happen. Yeah, nothing's going to happen. You know what I mean? If we score a goal, I'm going. That's the way it was. And that's the way it was in the Forest game. Defending was shambles. It's the same thing. You run down the wing, you cut back. And there's always this common theme outside the box or in that semicircle. There's no one
Well,
there
Scott McTominay was the reason why. Who scored? Gibbs White? Did he score the winner? Yeah, because he didn't pick him up.
But that's the problem with him. He's shit, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it's like fucking Roy Keane saying, do your fucking job. Fuck the goals, bro.
Yeah,
that's not your job. Your job is the fucking midfielder, is to fucking defend and at the same time go forward, win the ball in the final third. Yeah? You can't do either of that. You can't fucking defend because you're fucking marking Dalot for some reason.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are you holding Dalot's hand? Dalot is one-on-one with the guy.
Yeah,
you're right. Fucking go into the middle and fucking mark the guy who's fucking free, bro. He's got his arms in the air saying, pass me the fucking ball. But you've got your head down, looking at the floor, looking at the ball, and you're not looking around. You know, you've got no awareness. The element of scanning is just not there. And they're just simply not good enough. So that's the type of caliber of players that we've got. And obviously, at the moment, it's individual mistakes that are constantly costing us points, costing us performances, costing us results, you know, and it's individual mistakes from the front all the way to the back. You know, like Onana makes a mistake sometimes, you know, and then the centre backs, one of them will make a mistake. The full backs constantly make a mistake. Midfielders are not tracking, they're not doing their job. The attackers are not scoring their chances. Yeah. So when, like, the West Ham game, we could have been 2-3-0 up, we lost 2-0. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you could have buried it. You know, you had so many chances, you could have buried it. The attack, they fucked it. You know, and then at the back, they fucked it as well. So they went 1-0 down and then
it's from,
game over.
That's the thing.
You're gone. You know, now you look at the game and you're thinking, oh, we were shit, bro. We lost 2-0. But if you actually watch the game, we should have been 2-3-0 up. We should have
could have
fucking
been the other
buried
way
it.
around, yeah.
But that's happened to us too many times this season. You know, it's constantly that happens to us every fucking time. You know, and then the Bournemouth game, errors from the back, nothing going forward. You know, there wasn't good enough. So it's just, we've as a United fan, we've not seen a game yet where we've been actually from the first minute to the 90th. You know, we're thinking, yeah, this is a fucking convincing performance, a convincing win as well. I think the only one that I can actually think of was a Chelsea game. And that was probably as best as it got, you know, because our attack looked really good. Again, in that Chelsea game, we should have been 4-0 up, bro, in the first half.
That's the thing. Chelsea had chances, but again, you had more.
We
You should
should
have
have,
been, it should have
bro, in
been,
the first half, we had like 20, we had fucking like 20
something
shots or
crazy.
something in the first half. Missed the penalty. We had an XG of 3 in the
Fuck
first
me.
half. Chelsea had a 0.4.
And there was 1-1 at the break, innit?
It was 1-1. Cole Palmer goes and scores a fucking great goal.
Exactly.
You know, but you fucking score your chances. Like Fernandes scores that penalty, and then McTominay missed a fucking few. He scores one, whatever, and then you're fucking 1-1. You know, like if I'm the fucking manager, I'm looking at it like, what the fuck, bro? What can I even do? You know, I'm looking at these players and thinking, bro, like you should have fucking. This game is done, bro, in 45 minutes. You chill after that. You game manage.
Take your chances, man.
You know, if you just take your chances. And it's a simple thing. At the back, lapse of concentration up front, not taking the chances, and then the midfield is shambles. You know, there's no positional awareness. There's no like synergy in terms of how we move forward, how we defend. It's just shambles all over. And to be honest, overall, from like Ten Hag's place, I don't actually know where we go from here now. Like, do we keep him? A lot of the fans are getting frustrated now, you know, because it's constantly the same mistakes that we're seeing game after game after game. You know, so you see a mistake, you should be looking after to rectify it. Like that cutback's been going on since game one. You know, that and then that Morgan Gibbs goal, you know, and it's been going on since then, but it's still going on. So we're on game 20 now, like more than halfway through the season. And we're still seeing that mistake. So what are you doing? You know, why are you not rectifying that mistake? So it's there's a lot of questions that need to be asked, and there's obviously no one there to answer them, unfortunately. At the moment, I think a lot of United fans are just seeing what this INEOS project brings, you know, what kind of changes happen, because everyone is well aware for this to rectify itself, it needs to change from the top. You know, and then it trickles its way down. So you need a structure at the top. You need a sporting director. You know, you need a proper CEO now, you know, to come in and manage all this stuff. You need to change the recruitment because they're not good enough. You know, we've not probably had a good signing in a long time now. You know, the names have been there. You know, we've been linked to loads of names. We just don't sign them. We don't capitalize on it. I think another one that's quite notorious at the moment is Todibo. He's at Nice. He's fucking up the club that we've just got an investment from, INEOS. Yeah, INEOS
It
fucking
should
own
be just a
Nice. Todibo
straightforward
centre back.
change.
We should be signing him for fucking 2 million. You know what I mean? Do some dodgy shit, bro. Fucking get the fucking. Why the fuck are Tottenham
Well,
trying to
that's what I was
sign him?
gonna. Oh
Why are
yeah,
they
Chelsea are
Chelsea?
linked to him. Spurs are linked to him.
Chelsea having chats with him.
Yeah,
What the
why?
fuck, bro? He should be fucking at United. You know what I mean? We need that guy. We need a fucking centre back. That's a fucking easy win.
He's
You
there,
bring him
yeah,
in,
he's getting a
simple,
plate.
bro.
He's on a plate for you.
He's got pace. He's young. You know, he's got that kind of level of composure that we need. It's just you've signed the player. You've already fixed one position. You can't go into the summer trying to fix 100 positions. You have to do it step by step.
Try and make up, trying
You
to
know what I
make
mean?
most
We're
of
not man.
any transfer market you recently have.
Yeah, that's it. So, like for example, now, fucking get rid of Martial. Get rid of him now, yeah, in Jan, because he's fucking shit. He doesn't offer anything when he's there anyway. There's no point in him even being on the bench. Just get rid of him now, yeah. You can try bring someone on if you can. Don't. If you don't, if you can't, you can't. Fuck it. You know, it is what it is. And then Van de Beek, you've already got rid of him on loan, but ultimately he needs to be gone end of the summer as well. But there's so many of these type of players, and it's such a big job that's required. It's not a 1 year fix. It's gonna take probably like a couple of years. Like you're talking about four windows, five windows, if the windows are used properly. Now United are notoriously known to never make a window in January, I mean, signing in January. Hence why we only make loans, because of the Glazers' policy of the financial year end coming up in March/April. So they don't want to hinder the books. Hence why we never sign in Jan. So we only bring in loans. But that's not good enough because we're fucking up a window. So like Chelsea are going to sign. Liverpool might sign. Man City might go sign someone. Fingers Arsenal crossed. Will go sign someone. Tottenham will go sign someone. You know, West Ham will go. Newcastle will go. You know, so we're already 3 steps behind. We're trying to catch up 3 steps in the summer. That's not how you, if you want to compete, you've got to constantly be up 1 step ahead.
Yeah, that's how you make the most of every transfer window, essentially.
like, you know, like Chelsea and Tottenham, today is open today, the window. Yeah. Saliba, they're already having conversation. We that should be us.
Well, this is the problem. If Spurs or Chelsea end up signing him, that looks like that makes United look like twats. And this new Ineos group and all this, you know what I mean? You look like twats. Why are you not? You got a ready-made player, Todibo, who's been linked, obviously, with other clubs in the summer anyway. But now that you've been basically part shareholder, whatever the term is, you can essentially just bring the player from one club to the other in an easy transition. You can even fucking send Lindelof the other way, or, you know what I mean? Just make it look some sort of smooth transition, or whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call it. Strange. It is strange. I don't really know how United haven't really been linked to anyone this transfer window, have they, though?
I think there was Victor Boniface.
Is it? Leverkusen.
He's a tank, brother. Bro, he's a guy. If you mean business,
he's solid. You know, he is solid.
You know what I mean? You gotta bring that guy in. Like, but that's the type of player we need. Two quality strikers. You've got Hoyland, but you need Hoyland's obviously keeps getting injuries, so you need another guy as well. You can't have some shithead playing backup to Hoyland. You've got to have two.
You can't rely on Rashford essentially being your backup when he's playing left wing. Yeah. It doesn't make no sense.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the, and a right winger again is a position that we've never solved since fucking Antonio.
I was Valencia, gonna say bro. The same name, like, Valencia. He went right back.
Yeah, he went fucking right back after that. So, you know, that's a problem again. We're gonna have to go spend money on it. We bought Sancho, it didn't work. Cut your fucking losses, get rid of him. You fucking got Anthony, doesn't work.
Palestri is not good enough. But, get rid of him again.
Yeah, Palestri is like some academy player that you fucking just shoved him in. He's not good enough. Diallo.
Potential, but he's young.
But he's not the main man. Yeah, he's not the main man. He's a backup. You know, so I need a guy who's like 23, you know, whatever it is. He's a right wing and he's going to fucking tear it apart. You know, that's the kind of guy I want. I'm looking at, I can't be honest here, I'm looking at Elise.
Elise is the one that I was looking at for backup to Saka, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at Elise and I'm telling him, look, you fucking come into this team, you're fucking star man, bro. You know what I mean? Not star man, but you're playing. If you don't fucking perform, now I've got Diallo here. He's about similar age as you.
Yeah, the only difference is you've got Premier League experience and output compared to what Diallo's got. That's the only difference.
And Elise doesn't get injured. Well, touchwood, never seen much injuries from him. He plays consistently every game. And he is a lot of the time a match winner
for Palace. Yeah. He's like the Zaha.
He's got all the attributes. He's got all the attributes and he's so young. He just needs to go to a better team that plays better football. You know, because Palace is very much like
under Hodgson is difficult, man. It's fucking rigid as fuck, bro.
It's a shift.
And you got someone like bloody Mateta up front, and man's like that. That's a shambles, bro. Do you know what I mean? The only person he's really got to rely on is Eze, who I think is a baller as well. Do you know what I mean? Like for Arsenal, I'm looking at get rid of Smith Rowe, bring in Eze. Like, that's a good swap right there. You just say,
you know, you've got to be shrewd
and smart, you know, with how you do business now. If you go to Palace look, we'll give you Smith Rowe and 10 million or something, 15 million, and give us Eze. And they like, that's fucking good business. Do you know what I mean? And
you got to do stuff like that. You know, leverage your position.
Leverage the size of your club and to make Eze go, I want to move to Arsenal. I want to play Champions League football. I want to be in a title race. Yeah. I want to be, you know what I mean? I want to be in a position where I can progress my career, essentially. It's funny you said Boniface, you know, if because I was like, you know what, if we don't get if we can't spend money on Osimhen and Tony, we get Tony now and we get Boniface in the summer. And I think that's great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's
he's gonna be a
oh,
hot,
he's gonna be
hot.
very, especially if Leverkusen are in the league, bro. There's gonna be bear man. There's gonna be so many teams after him. I wouldn't be surprised because Madrid need a
Yeah, he,
striker.
I think from what I'm seeing as well from him, out of all the Nigerian players from a long, long time, I think his ceiling is probably one of the highest that I've seen. You know, he's higher than Osimhen's, I think. Osimhen's like 25, 26. This guy's 21. You know, he can dribble, he can skip past players. He's got that Rafael Leao aspect to him, you
He's
know,
got that
where
physicality in the prem.
he can
That's what
score.
you need.
Yeah, and he can score the goal as well. So I think whoever grabs that guy, you know, and I think even for Nigerian football, I think he is a guy, bro, that will tear it up, man. And I think it'll be good to see, you know, what kind of feeling he kind of provides.
I hope, but the thing is, Nigerian players, they love Chelsea, innit? That's what Osimhen looking to do, go to
Bro,
Chelsea.
I wouldn't be
So,
surprised if I'll be surprised if Chelsea
well, let's
come
not
in
hope
as
they
well,
get
'cause
both of them, will you?
the one thing Chelsea are good at, they move
Quick.
quick, bro.
The only problem is they're not getting
Chelsea
the
don't
right
fuck
man,
about.
really, at the moment.
To be honest, some of the guys they've got are good. It's just everyone they've signed is
Yeah,
fucking too
it's
young,
true.
bro.
The structure's weird. It's very young team, man. The average team is like what, 19? Not
You know, the
19, but it's early 20s, isn't it? At least from all the signings.
you know, you've got, I think Madouk, I think he performed well last game. You've got obviously Cole Palmer, he's top. You're building a team around him,
Yeah,
man.
man, he's quality, man. He's doing quality.
You've got Madouk, he played quality. I think he's start now for games going on. You know, and I think Palmer, he's there. You've got your midfield sorted, I think. You've got Enzo and Caicedo, and then your defense. I think once they get some players back from injuries, I don't think they need to even do
No,
anything
even
with the
then, I
defense
think
because.
the thing is, the only person I've really is a bit suspected De Sassi because he's a bit.
But you still got Fofana.
Oh my
That's,
God.
you know,
He's
Fofana's the
injured, isn't
main
he?
man,
He's
bro.
injured,
He's
yeah,
injured.
that's what he is.
Yeah, that's what I'm
They still
saying.
got Badiashile, Cole Will. They got a solid. I'll probably look at left back. Because Chilwell, I don't think is good enough, I'll be honest. I don't think he can play left back.
I
Who's their
think he's good
backup?
enough,
Because they're
but
playing Colwood right now, it's
I'd
weird. Oh
Cucurella, innit?
my
And then obviously,
God.
and then you've got Colwill who's playing there. So I think, in that sense, I think yeah, Colwill obviously they want to play him centre back. You know that is the goal. So hence why I don't get really why they're trying to buy Todibo because you've got De Sassi, you've got fucking Thiago Silva, you've got Colwill. So that's three
Fofana, you
centre backs. You've
mentioned.
got Fofana. And then they probably got some other guys on the bench as well. Who's that other?
Badiashile,
Badiashile, you got? What about fucking six
there's
centre
so
backs,
many
bro?
of them. There's so many of them.
Why the fuck? Why then you want to buy
Unless they're
Todibo? You've
thinking
got fucking
like
seven.
Thiago Silva is going to leave in the summer or something of that sort, then they may be just trying to brush it up now, innit? And get something. The one
Yeah.
person I was looking at left back, and I think Arsenal should go for him as well, is I mean, Grimaldo's a shout, but if we're looking at Prem, is Tyrique Mitchell is one player that I like, man. I
See,
like Tyrique Mitchell.
I don't know, man. Like, he just reminds me of a Wan-Bissaka, like all over
I hear
again.
it, I hear it, but I think he's better on the ball for sure. It's the problem is, can he step up the game and be in a position where? Because now
I don't
if
know.
we look
We've been Palace and bought that fullback now, so I'd never
not
go
doing it
there again,
again.
man.
You're not doing it
Just
again.
because when these the problem you have is these guys play this low line. Like very low line. Now, when they come to a better team and have to play a higher line, you know
You're essentially
that's
playing
where it becomes
1v1
very techy.
at the back.
Yeah, it becomes very techy as well because we see it with Wan-Bissaka all the time. He falls asleep. So you have three players here, and then Wan-Bissaka's deeper, and then he's always the player that keeps the opposition onside because he's not following the line. He's not got that concentration. Now, if you're playing a fucking deep line where you're next to your box, it doesn't matter, innit? Because even if you're there, it's you know the distance from
You
there
can't
to
make of
the
a threat.
goal
Yeah,
is
the threats.
short.
Yeah,
It's short.
exactly.
Yeah, it's a, so you can make the comeback, and hence why Wan-Bissaka is so good at the recovery, and hence why because his lapse of concentration is on there. Now Tyrique Mitchell, I feel like he could be suspect to the same thing as well, where because Palace play this such a low line, deep line, and then like when he comes to a bit better team that's telling him push up the pitch, play towards the halfway line. Now the gap between him and the goalkeeper, you're talking about 20, 30
You're right.
yards. You know what I mean? One fucking ball. And if he's not in line with the rest of the three, he's fucking done out. So I don't
I
know,
hear
man.
you.
I'd
I just think
stay
he's better
way, way
one
clear
v
of
one defender. But again, you can say that about Wan-Bissaka, who's probably one of the best out there.
That's
It's
the
true.
thing.
It's true. So how does it work? It's true. It's
The
true.
same, but he
It's
falls
true.
asleep.
That's the problem.
He's always sleeping, this guy. So
All
yeah.
right. Let's leave it there. Let's leave it there. It's been a long episode, but I think because we haven't obviously spoken about a couple of weeks, there's been a lot to get through, and obviously Arsenal having some big problems. The thing is, the next, I mean, FA Cup's this weekend, and then the weekend after is when the first Prem game is. So it's funny, Arsenal don't play until the 20th of January, which is a long time, in the Prem. They've got 13 days, just under 2 weeks gap between.
FA
I
Cup.
mean, we've got Liverpool at home in the cup, in FA Cup, so that's a big game anyway. Then we've got just under 2 weeks before, just under 2 weeks after that, we've got Palace at home and Nottingham Forest away. So we got some big games coming up. We need to get back-to-back wins under the belt before Liverpool come in the league. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll speak. I mean, I think the next thing we will talk about is probably that Liverpool Arsenal game in the cup. If not, if there isn't much to really talk about the FA Cup, we can move on to something else. We'll probably bring you a random topic of some sort. Let us know anyway on Instagram or any of the reviews that you want to leave on our Spotify or Apple Music. Thanks for listening to the podcast again. Take care, and I'll speak to you soon.